Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. This is Stuff You Should Know, as you know.
I don't think you've ever said that the title of our podcast.
I'm trying out something new.
I like that.
Let the mighty eagle soar, Chuck.
I agree.
Yeah, so have you ever heard of eugenics, Chuck?
No, because you teased me before we went on the air, and I asked you what it was, so I might add to the conversation, and you refused. So.
Yeah, I refused to tell you, didn't I?
Yeah, so let's
wing it. So this is genuine. You really genuinely don't know.
I have no idea.
This is some stupid segue that you already know the answer to.
Nope.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit about eugenics. It's a little history lesson, American history to be exact, okay. Early 20th century. There was a movement afoot in the scientific community to basically purify the human race, to make humans, you know, the best we can possibly be.
Right.
But to do that, we had to get rid of humans that were deemed deficient. And for those of you listening out there, I just made very, very strong air quotes with my fingers. So these deficient humans were anybody from the mentally infirm, epileptics, people born blind or deaf, mutes, and just basically anybody who...
Clubfoot.
Oh, yeah. You did not want to be Clubfoot in 1920 in America. Right. But it's a little-known aspect of American history. The government got behind this eugenics movement. And there's actually, I believe there's a few people alive today that were sterilized by the federal government. That's eugenics.
Wow.
It really happened.
Well, I'm glad it didn't take.
It didn't take, although it almost did elsewhere in a little place we call Germany.
Right.
Adolf Hitler actually didn't come up with this idea of, you know, the Superman of the Aryan race, the perfect race,
right,
on his own. He got it from the eugenics movement and a guy named Henry Ford, who is a huge proponent of eugenics.
Really?
Yep. Little known fact.
Wow.
Let's fast forward to the 21st century.
All right.
Right now, there are at least two women walking the planet who voluntarily had themselves sterilized. Do you know why they did this?
So they couldn't have babies?
That's precisely right, Chuck.
Okay.
How insightful of you. The reason that they did this, yes,
right,
was because they didn't want to contribute to the population and its negative effects on the environment. This was their service to the environment. They were making sure they didn't procreate ever.
And I'm sure they probably went to the press to tout this.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. There was a couple of articles I read on them. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I would call that an example of eco-anxiety.
Yeah, I think that's... I would agree with you there.
Do you want to define eco-anxiety?
Sure. Eco-anxiety is it's a sort of a new affliction that they've...
It's very new.
Yeah, very new. Where people have chronic fears of environmental doom in one way or the other, whether it's global warming, flood, famine, heat waves, extinction, that kind of thing.
And I don't know exactly how widely held this diagnosis is.
Right.
But apparently it is real, and it's somewhat like a general anxiety disorder,
uh-huh.
where you have insomnia, nervousness,
right.
depression, that
right.
kind of thing. Except it's very specifically triggered from, you know, thinking about or being presented with evidence of the destruction of the environment.
Right. Or even, actually, I did a little extra research for a
Ooh.
Change.
Wow.
And a lot of these folks even just... They'll obsess over like a can or a water bottle. They'll be walking down the street and they'll see a can on the road and they'll want to stop their car. Well, I guess they'd be driving. They'll want to stop their car just to
or
get
bike,
that can.
Probably bike.
This one lady sifts. Yeah, they'd be on a bike, I guess. They sift through the trash sometimes,
mm-hmm.
looking for recyclables.
I've actually done that before. I don't consider myself eco-anxious though. It's more just like, well, this can be recycled.
Well, I've done that. I've taken something off the top, perhaps.
Well, yeah. I didn't like get my hands really dirty.
Right, but I don't make it a point to go around two trash cans to sift through them, which I think some of these folks do.
Actually, if that is a symptom of eco-anxiety, then maybe this isn't new because hobos have been doing that for years.
Maybe right.
Yeah, so maybe these are just hobos in disguise.
Right, or, they were the first eco-anxious.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay, so that's eco-anxiety. We've
right.
got that covered. And it seems like people who are eco-anxious are just kind of maybe nervous Nellies, and this is a real outlet for them.
I have a feeling that might be the case. Anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like there's general anxiety, and then emanating from that are these things that can trigger it, right?
Right.
Think about it. Eco-anxiety is new, and it's kind of developed along with our consciousness of how badly we're treating the planet these days.
Sure.
Was fear of flying around before airplanes were invented?
Exactly.
And there's also a lot of psychologists that believe that claustrophobia didn't really generate until the modern city.
Right.
And that kind of living close and all that, it actually led to claustrophobia. So it almost seems like, this is totally me opining here, but it seems like there's general anxiety disorders and then it just kind of, there's triggers for it, different triggers for different folks.
Right. Almost like you look for something to be anxious about.
Exactly. Well, eco-anxiety is the new anxiety du jour, so
right.
we should probably tell everybody, you know, what they can possibly do about this kind of thing.
Right. Well, I know that many people who suffer from eco-anxiety feel a great deal of, or a great lack of support, rather, from friends and family. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they aren't very understanding because they think it's not exactly
kooky.
Yeah, they think it's a little kooky, or if nothing else, unfounded. Although I did notice in the article that a Gallup poll states that 36% of Americans say they worry a great deal about global warming.
Mm-hmm. And that same poll found 35% of people think that global warming will pose a threat to their life or their lifestyle within their lifetime.
Right. So I guess that's I kind of believe that as well. I believe in global warming, and I think that it's already having some negative effects. But I don't carry it around with me on a daily basis as far as worrying about it. I think that's the difference.
Right. And I think my problem with the eco-anxiety diagnosis is that any gesture toward the environment, toward protecting the environment, that isn't born exclusively out of a sense of responsibility qualifies as eco-anxiety.
Right.
Which I kind of disagree with.
I do too.
But there's a pretty good explanation for eco-anxiety that eco-psychologists have come up with. And that basically it's a symptom or a byproduct of our increasing disconnection from the planet.
Right.
We've created technology that has effectively taken us out of any kind of need to be cared for by the planet, or we've at least created that idea in our minds that we have insulated ourselves from the planet through technology. We don't need it any longer except to walk on and drink the water from, and any problems we face, we can basically engineer our way out of it.
Right.
But apparently we're supposed to connect with the planet. We're supposed to feel connected with the planet. So as we get less and less connected to it, we're getting more and more eco-anxious. That's the explanation as I understand it.
Right. And one on that same note, one thing I thought was kind of funny, actually, if you want me to be honest.
Okay.
One of the things that ecotherapists will do at a rate of $250 an hour to help you cure this will be to advise you to carry around a rock or a piece of bark to connect yourself with Mother Nature again.
The other suggestion that I read that I liked was to go outside.
Right.
I would love to charge somebody $250 for 50 minutes to tell them to go outside.
Right.
I mean, how do you do that? That's awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to belittle, because it is a valid concern for somebody, then who are we to say that it's not? Who are we to draw judgment on somebody who walks around in a constant state of panic when they see an idling car, let's say, or a water bottle sitting on the ground. So while we might think it's a bit silly, they might think that my fear of mice is silly.
I think your fear of mice is really silly.
Right.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on! Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Yeah, but yeah, I can understand what you're saying, and I think that's a legitimate thing to point out, because however it manifests itself, it's still a form of anxiety. But this is perhaps maybe the most productive form of anxiety there is. You know, I mean, you don't want to just like curl up in the corner with your chest, your knees drawn up to your chest, rocking back and forth. Right. You want to go pick recyclables out of the trash and do right. something, you know, maybe go fight off Japanese whalers in the Arctic, something like that.
Right. Join Greenpeace.
Something. Sure. I mean, at least it motivates you to do something that has a happy end.
Right.
A happy ending.
Or just carry on a piece of bark in your pocket.
Which is really the There's least you can that. Do, you know?
Yeah. That's not very good advice, if you ask me. I think they can inspire somebody to actually make change instead of just carrying a rock.
Carrying, yeah, or bark. So there was one other aspect that I found kind of interesting about eco-anxiety was that it was largely driven by the media.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that.
Right.
I think,
and our friend Al Gore, I know, has...
Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, has inspired with his film, An Inconvenient Truth. Mm-hmm. Which was, you know, kind of frightening.
Yeah. Well, as with any kind of public policy push or campaign, it has to be the problem has to be identified, and the public has to be alerted to it. But we generally, especially in America, are fairly lazy and like to have things spoon-fed to us.
Right.
So the best way to get us to, you know, get off of the lazy boy and drop our Budweiser and, you know, maybe get out there and do something is to scare the hell out of us.
Right.
And it's a legitimate marketing tactic. There's this acronym called FUD, fear, uncertainty, and dread. And these are actually three marketing ploys to get people to do something. So whether it's, you know, saving the polar bears,
right,
or getting you to go to the Midnight Madness sale,
right.
It's the same tactics. And I can see how, especially missing the Midnight Madness sale, that's pretty bad. But eventually you're going to get over it. You're like, that sucks. I missed out on those savings, but I'll live.
It's FUD.
With the environment, the stakes are so much higher.
Right.
That I think if you're going to try to get people to act, you have to be slightly more delicate, maybe.
Sure.
Because you have the eco-anxious out there.
Right.
You got to be careful with these folks.
Yeah. My wife, I wouldn't call her eco-anxious, but she does worry about the polar bears.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
Well, don't we all?
Yeah.
So I guess my advice to our readers would be, and I think I speak for Chuck as well, the next time you see a well-dressed liberal rooting through the trash and pulling cans out, be extra nice to them because they may be among the eco-anxious.
Right. Or tout yourself as an eco-therapist and take money from them.
Yeah. Keep loads of bark handy.
Right.
Like pharmaceutical samples.
Right.
Well, don't go anywhere. We want you to stick around to find out which article Chuck and I think has the most useful, useless information we've heard in quite some time. Chuck, do you want to be the big boy who tells them which article we think has the most useful, useless information in it?
Yes, I'll be the big boy.
Do it.
Why is it a bad idea to scare a vulture? Written by our colleague Kristen Conger.
Yes, and do you want to tell everybody why it's a bad idea?
Yeah, because apparently if a vulture gets scared, it will vomit on cue.
And this vomit is not ordinary vomit. Apparently,
vulture vomit.
It smells like dead things, appropriately enough. But it also burns.
Right,
it's
like
very acidic.
Acid. Yeah.
So you should probably just steer clear of vultures anyway.
Right. I would say we say useless, useful, or useful, useless, depending on where you're coming from. Because it sounds silly, but if you ever scared a vulture and it puked on you, then you'd
find out it's not so silly after.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can arm yourself against this eventuality, learn some vulture psychology, how to keep away from that kind of thing. Type in, why is it a bad idea to scare a vulture, into our handy-dandy search bar. You can learn more about eco-anxiety by typing in how eco-anxiety works. Both of those articles would be found in only one place. That is howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, No microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit RichardsRainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's RichardsRainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richards Rainwater. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.